Hi, everyone. We have Matt Smith here today with us. Thanks, Matt, for coming to the studio.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We have a little different setup here. If you're watching, we're shooting a video of this too, and we're going to probably, put it on social media and YouTube and stuff. So this is a little different than the normal podcast that we've done. But Matt, can you tell us why 4 to 6? Sometimes it's 4 to 5, but not less than 4, but not more than 6 shapes in a painting that tends to give us a pleasing design. Why those numbers?
Well, that's a great question. One of the key points to design, a strong design, is simplicity. And in two-dimensional art, shape is the basis of that design. And you can have fewer shapes than 4. You can have more than 6 if you're good at what you're doing, but when I'm teaching, I try to tell my students to limit it to 4 to 6 main shapes. And generally, they're defined by light and shadow. In our particular genre, landscape, foreground, middle ground, background. Many folks, especially early on, process information in terms of things like a tree, a rock, a cliff. Yeah. It could be something like that. Personally, I like to look at it as a value in color. Within that shape. But key points to design are simplicity, variety, character. So when you're starting off and really distilling it down into the basic components, shape is key.
Yeah.
And too many of them, and it fractures up the overall design.
Yeah. So you guys are noticing, he says shape. It doesn't say tree, doesn't say house, doesn't shape. That's the basic thing, and I think that's where, not mistakes, but students get overwhelmed is they're thinking of things, right? Not shapes.
They are. Once you start thinking of shapes, you might look at a mass of trees, 50 trees, that once you start breaking them down into individual shapes, you've lost your design. Uh-huh. Yet if you squint down and really look at it from a shadow side of the tree shape versus light side, you might see two shapes as they all mass together. And it's really important to do that. You start there and then you build up to the detail rather than the other way around, or else you'll have a completely fractured design.
And also the best way also is you might be listening like, well, okay, that sounds good, but I don't know about this. Maybe I'll put more in there. Well, again, trial and error, right? Put more shapes in, see how it looks. See if Matt is right, right?
Correct. I mean, it's better to maintain the identity of that shape and just put more information inside that shape. It could be physical detail, but if you narrow the value and color range within that shape, it'll maintain its integrity. As soon as you start really expanding the color and value relationships within those shapes, you're done. It's gone. So it's best to start with those shapes. Once you've established the relationship between shape number 1 versus 4 versus 5, and you feel good about those from a value and color standpoint, then you can start adding the physical detail, squint as you go, and as soon as it starts breaking down too much, you know you've gone too far and you can pull back. Mm-hmm. So the process of working that might be a back and forth. Like, I like to compare it to focusing a camera lens. You go too far and you bring it back, and you might work that several times before you get it just where you want. And that's kind of a way of designing as you go. You have that initial plan down, and then you can adjust it as you go.
Yeah.
And create harmony.
Yeah, and these days with technology, that's where technology, I think, helps, where you can use your phone, you can grayscale it out and just kind of see just right off the bat, okay, that image, I got to work with that image harder because there's too many shapes, basically.
Yeah. So you can, and there are apps you can buy now that'll do little no-tan imagery and that kind of thing. And
even just before you start, you can kind of, at least what your beginning image is. Is it too much?
Absolutely.
You can do that. It's I think way too often people jump into the paint.
And I understand that. That's the emotional side of what they're doing. They want to get right to it. And I'm guilty of the same thing, but there's also the intellectual side of it. And that starts before brush ever hits canvas. Is this, I'm looking at a subject, what is it about that captures my attention? Okay, once I've identified that, okay, what's happening around that area of interest? Do I see those underlying foundational shapes?
Yeah.
Do they all have variety in terms of character, size, is one large, one small? Again, like I said earlier, one of the other key components to design is variety.
So. Yeah. Wouldn't you say some of the best examples that I know we talked about this in many times with you and other artists, that the illustrators of the past, the golden age of illustration, Howard Pyle and those guys, N.C. Wyeth, just look at their images, right? It's a good, really good way of picking up on this stuff. It's so there.
That's because those were meant to stop the eye, you know, especially if they were using those in advertising.
Yeah.
You want to capture the viewer's intention. You want to grab it hard and pull them in just long enough to process whatever it is you're selling.
Yeah.
And some of those illustrations for books were, they had to carry a lot of weight because they're combined with a great story that's being told.
Yeah.
And they need to be a powerful. And if you look at some of the great artists that I've admired over the years, like Maynard Dixon, especially his later work was very designed, very graphic. You see those shapes. He was a master of that. So was Carl Rungis.
A lot
of the tallest painters. It's out there and you can see it. And it's interesting to see the growth of these artists from early on, where it was more about the detail, and as they began to understand it and grew it into stronger design, that's where it became more graphic and powerful.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Matt.
My pleasure.
That was awesome. Matt actually has an online course that's open right now as we're recording this podcast. This is the beginning of March 2023. If you're listening to this at another time of the year, there's three enrollments that we have a year. We have a March, July, and a fall one in November. So if you're listening right now, enrollment will be open until the 28th of March. So if you want to learn more about Matt's online course, we call it mentoring course. Then check out his page at TucsonArtAcademyOnline.com. It's a full year, 365-day enrollment, and we still think it's one of the best values out there, I believe.
Yeah, it's a wonderful opportunity because you can work at your own pace. There are a lot of great students in the class, hardworking, supportive of one another. A lot of video in there covering a lot of different topics and like what we were just talking about here. So it's a great opportunity.
You can't fall behind. I think that's one of the big things, because over the years we heard, I'm busy with, you know, this, and that's just true. Life gets in the way of things sometimes, and you cannot fall behind. I think that's one of the big also advantages of the class. You cannot fall behind. You can come and go. There's nothing live, basically.
So. Yeah.
So hopefully we'll see you in one of Matt's online courses, or you can also purchase one of his digital downloads too if you're just too busy. So thanks again, Matt.
My pleasure.